Okay, so we got up to Chof Ches Amud Beis, so I hope we're basically at the same place, because we wanted you to miss out on as little as possible, so we decided to stop right there by the last Mishnah. Okay, Lo Yomar Adam Tabach. So we're holding here at the Halakha Mishnah. We've been talking about the question about doing things that appear to be doing business on Yom Tov. Now, we do have a Gezerah against doing business on Yom Tov. And that's the question of the whole issue about business, whether it's the mekor of the issue is the mibitzor chevtzecha, that you're not supposed to be involved in doing things for yourself, or a big ikar, it's a gezera that you may end up coming to write, because that's often the case. You write down your sales and whatever's owed, and so on and so forth. So we're worried about Shema Yichtov. Rashi will discuss this later, actually, what the mocker specifically is. And the question, therefore, is how do we avoid losing out on opportunities to get what we need for Yom Tov, while at the same time not being over on this issur of doing business on Yom Tov? So we've been talking about Uvda Dechol, things that look like you're doing them in the normal way, and things that are technically business and therefore have to be avoided. So here, we spoke earlier, remember, about the question of weighing things in the Mishnah, or we talked about the question of whether you're allowed to work out a way in which you can make a deal with the guy without ever discussing money, and figuring out how after Yom Tov he'll be able to bill you, and things like that. So we're continuing today about how it is that things should be phrased when you're going to be taking them from a business on Yom Tov. So let's say a guy wants to get meat. So Lo Yomar Adam LeTabach, don't say to the butcher, okay, weigh me one dinner worth of meat. Because basically, remember that we waited until the amount of money that was necessary to cover the costs of the meat would come in, because otherwise it would just go to waste. There was no way to refrigerate it. So the question over here is that we're just talking over here. Obviously, we're taking for granted that the issues about weighing that we said earlier, of course, we're going to be keeping that. You're not going to be weighing it the way you normally weigh it. And if the butcher is an expert, he can't even weigh it by holding the weight and the meat in his hand. It's on its over, whatever the case would be. But even that, you're not allowed to do because you mentioned the dinner. Now, the butcher, he's allowed to, if he sees he's got sufficient customers and people keep coming in, so then what he can do is he can check the animal. And then he can give each person a piece of the meat. Now, the question's going to ask, how's that possible? What do you mean a piece of the meat? If you're not going to weigh it, so how in the world are you going to actually be able to collect your money after the Yom Tov? So this, the Gemara is going to discuss. And just stand that you should know that there is a different girsa that doesn't say mechalek b'neim, but that says mechalkin. They name that the customers, they work it out. Like we talked about before, if you could be shoko mona keneged mona and so on, or whether that's considered to be uvda dechol, all of that would kick in if it's mechalkin b'neiim. All right, so we're talking over here, somehow or other working it out without mentioning a price. Now, how in the world, how in the world can you get, like, I don't know, you said even a small amount, like, I mean, dinner buzzer is like what, a half of a percent of the animal? I mean, that, I understand what you said before. If a guy says, I'll take half, I'll take a third. Okay. And that makes sense. But how in the world can you talk about buying a dinner without saying the dinner? Well, that would be a question of what the local minhag is. But basically, it was very common in those days that what you would do was that the butcher would actually make standard portions of meat. So in other words, you could buy, so to speak, a plastic-wrapped piece of steak or whatever it was, but it didn't go over there according to the specific weight. The butcher would work it out that everybody got sort of an equal value in the end, so that, if it was better meat, you'd put a little bit less in, but there were pieces. You could buy a piece of meat. It was a standard piece or half piece, and that's how it was sold, and they were all basically worth the same amount. So therefore, like when they ask in Surah, they say, give me a tarta. A tarta is just the name for the piece. They would just cut them, call them different things. It's the same thing. It's just the way that they refer to it. We're just showing you in many different places, they used to have the standard piece of meat. So they would give me a tarta, or give me a half a tarta. Or in Narish, they would say, give me a chelka, or give me a half a chelka. Or Bubadisa, they would say, give me an uzia, give me a half an uzia. In Arpakod, Mata Bachasi, they would say, give me a riva, give me a half a riva. So that was, even though we're not familiar with this kind of thing, but in the Mishnah, they were talking about, apparently, at a time when this was standard. And now we've got our, I think we do. I mean, he's got a lot of 613s that are doing a lot of mitzvahs, but.
Maybe they said some places, give me five, brother. Give me
okay.
five.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway. Okay,
so now what would you do? This is all basically part of the same thing. We're talking about how do we get things without conducting business. All right, so we talked about buying a piece of meat. Now, how about you want to get a certain amount of oil? You want to get a certain amount of wine. So you could say to a guy, fill this up for me, but not if it is a measuring kli, which we're going to see that's what it means. It's not clear what this means, not with the measure, but that's what it's going to mean in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was a kli shel midah, you can't even use it. In other words, it's not a question of saying the midah. It's a question of if it is the type of thing that could be used as a midah, is what he seems to be saying, then you can't use it at all, even though it was never actually used as a midah. Which the Gemara, again, we'll talk about what the machlokas is. The Mishnah is very opaque. There was a maisa with Abishol ben Butnis, and he would sell, and because he needed to be careful about measuring, and you're not allowed to do the measure, so what he would do, he would fill up all of the midas before Yantiv. Now we're going to see that actually what he was worried about is that it would take a long time for the measures to be fully, all the bubbling and everything would go down so that you wouldn't be cheating your customers. But we'll get to this in the end of the Mishnah, and the Gemara will explain more. So he would make sure that all of his midos were filled up before Yantav, and then he would give them to his customers on Yantav itself. Abishol says he used to do this, meaning Abishol ben Botnis, not to be confused with Abishol, he used to do this even during Chol HaMoed. And the reason he did this during Chol HaMoed was bipnei beirurei hamidot. He was afraid that since there's a lot of bubbles that get into the midas, and it takes a long time for those bubbles to finally stop making a mess of your measurements, because if it's bubbling, then that means that it's going to look like it's full, even though it isn't really full, and he was very nervous about cheating his customers. So basically, it wasn't just a question. You think that the issue over here is you didn't measure because you can't measure on Yontif, so mail everything had to be measured before, and then it would be like selling a piece. But he would do this even during Chol HaMoed, where obviously it has nothing to do with the Isser of measuring. So it's got to be some other reason that he would do it in advance. The reason he did it in advance is because it took a long time for the foaming to go down. And he did not have time during Chol HaMoed to do this kind of stuff. I mean, if normally during the week, so then fine, he could handle it. But he's not going to sit there during Chol HaMoed when it's everybody's sitting and learning and having fun on Yontem. And so he's not going to sit there in his stores, we'll see in the Gemara. So Mimele, he would do this the night before. And by the morning, okay, so he would have things to sell. And that was because of the bubbles. The Chachamim say he would always do this. The reason he would always do this, nothing to do with Yontav or Chol HaMoed. It had to do with his worry that if somebody orders a particular, let's say, a liter worth of oil. So he's got this liter that he takes a liter of oil out of the big barrel of oil, and he turns the liter over on top of the customer's own container. That's the way they used to do things. And obviously, I mean, it's going to take forever for every last drop of oil to come out there. There's going to be some oil that will be left in his leader. And so this got him very nervous because he's cheating. We'll see whether there's really what to be nervous about. But anyway, what they used to do, therefore, would be not nogei yontif or chol hamoed. It was always done this way. Okay, so let's start with the meaning of the Tanakhama. So you're allowed to say to a guy, fill this up, but not with amida. What does that mean? Omer Rav Yonah Shmuel, it means that the Tanakhama says you cannot use a kli that is miyuchad l'mida. So in other words, if this is your leader that you use all the time, so then it's mamish like your normal business. That you can't do. I mean, but he's not saying you cannot use a container that is a specific mida. You know, you could use your liter bottle. All the bottles are a liter, but it's not the bottle that you use to measure. So that would be okay. So kli ha'omed l'midah, if it's just a liter water bottle. So, I mean, yeah, you could use it to measure if you wouldn't have anything else or if your one would break. But right now, that's not the way that I do it. This is like just the water bottle that I use when I go on the bus and I want to have something to drink. That would be okay. Comes along Reb Yehuda and says, no, even that's not okay. And therefore, when Reb Yehuda adds, he's saying, kli ha'omed l'midah. Even if it's something that could ultimately be used for mida, even that, do not fill it up so that you know exactly how much it is that you're, because it looks like you're doing the business again. But anyway, this is interesting. This is again the same type of thing we had earlier where we attempt to find like a general sense of, analyzing the social implications and the philosophical implications. Remember, we went through this before and we're saying, what the heck? It's nothing to do with that. But anyway, it appears that Reb Yehuda makes it harder for you to have Simchas Yontif, right? Because I mean, Reb Yehuda is saying, I don't care so much about Simchas Yontif. You got a problem. You got to figure out what you're going to do because you can't use even your Coke bottle if that's what it is that is made for Amida. So you see that for when it comes to Simchas Yontif, apparently Reb Yehuda is more machmer than the Rabbanan. And of course, the Rabbanan says, as long as it's not mamish, the thing that you use. But the problem is, of course, that we learned just the opposite just a couple missions ago. Because we learned that according to Reb Yehuda, you can weigh meat using a kli that you know the amount of how much it weighs, or the butcher's knife, the cleaver you could use. And the Chachomim say you don't get near a scale, okay? Keep your hands off of that scale. So apparently the Chachomim were making it more difficult to get things than Reb Yehuda was, which implies that Reb Yehuda is lakula, and he wants to make life easier for Simchas Yontif, and the Rabbanan are lachumra. So isn't that a contradiction? I mean, kasha Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda, and kasha Rabbanan, and Rabbanan. And once again, the Gemara points out, what does it have to do with philosophy? What does it have to do with your general stance about whether you're machmer or makeup? And that's it. The question over here is how you view the iser. So the Reb Yehuda and Reb Yehuda lo kasha. Because over there, what he was saying is, if you're going to be able to use a kofet, so you'll be able to use another kli, that's gufa because that kli is not identifiable as a kli that is a replacement for your weight. That's the whole point. I mean, over here, he's saying, look, a liter is a liter is a liter. I mean, the question of whether this is the liter that you use or it's the one that you keep underneath the counter, why is that important? So if it's omed l'mida, hachab omed l'mida, so it's us, the Rabbanan are also, they're talking about a different issue. When they said you can't use the kofet, that's because it is similar to an uvda d'chol. Because if the butcher, let's say, maybe his partner is using a regular weight, he would take it also. And therefore, if sometimes it's usable in business, then it becomes part of an uvda d'chol. Masha ein kein, people, what, you're going to tell me, that he's using a Coke bottle? Since when does he use a Coke bottle? So therefore, this is not the way he generally does it. And because of that, he's making an obvious shinui, and because of that, it's mutter. And therefore, it has nothing to do with a general outlook on whether you're going to be more machmer or mekel. The question is how you view the nature of uvdin d'chol. Rava says, look, I mean, this entire discussion is moot because that's not what it meant, okay? When it said in the Mishnah, avalo b'mida, what it meant is don't say the mida, don't say give me a liter. That's what it means. He should say fill this up. And then whatever it is, but at least he didn't say the name of the mida. Comes along Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda says, no, you can't do that. Because, I mean, this has nothing to do with what we said before, that according to Reb Yehuda, you can't use a Coke bottle. But Maybe what he's talking about, even I'll leave it to Yuna, would be that he can't use the kli that he normally would use, but only if he mentions not to fill it up. That's all. But otherwise, it would be okay. So if he doesn't mention the name of the measurement, then it would be okay, according to the Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Yehuda. The same thing as saying the name of the measurement if you give him your normal liter to use. So here, too, the Gemara says, so does that mean we've got a contradiction? Because by Simchus Yontev, we see that Rabbi Yehuda over here is making it more difficult. He's machmir the Rabbanan Amekel. Didn't we learn just the opposite? That Shokolad and Basa Kenegad HaKalif Kenegad HaKofetz. Didn't we just say before that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be okay to use a kli or a meat cleaver? And the Chachamim say, don't get near that scale, keep your hands off. So, Alma. So, again, I mean, it's been Reb Yehuda's Lakula, and the Rabbanan are Lachumra. So, again, we have a Kasher Reb Yehuda, the Reb Yehuda, Kasher Rabbanan, Rabbanan. And again, we say, what does it have to do with philosophy? The Reb Yehuda, the Reb Yehuda, Lukasha. Over there, he's saying you can use a kofitz because that kli is not miyuchet for a midah. It's just a knife. But here, he's using the leader that he would always be using, and therefore, what's the difference if you say the word leader or you just hand him the leader? It's the same thing. Because over there, it's the same issue. Over there, if you're using something that you would use during normal business hours, so then it's served in the chol. Mashaken, over here, when you're telling me normally people will use things that have nothing to do with served in the chol. Let's say you want to give a friend a drink. You're telling me that if what you have is a measuring thing, and it has like these little measure. You won't use the measuring thing to give him a drink. There's nothing to do with making a measurement. It's just that sometimes I mean, you can bring it to the table and it's a container that's got like markings. Many of those pitchers that you use for serving water have markings on it. You know, quarter liter, half liter, liter. I mean, what does it have to do with it? But it's still a serving pitcher. So why does that make it an uvda d'chol? So then the question is whether the uvda d'chol is the overall appearance or whether the question is the way that you would normally do business. What does that have to do with the philosophy of whether we make things tough for people who want to enjoy yontem? Anyway, the mission.
Rebbe is drinking kli.
Now this, as you'll notice, has shnatot. It says over here 480 milliliters. So this would be exactly the problem that we've got. Now, very often, Barnea makes me drink in this, and therefore we shouldn't consider it to be an uvda d'chol, even though it's got the schnozos on it. I'm assuming that's why you wanted me to show the bottle? Very good.
It's tough to drink. 480.
I give up. I can't keep up with this guy at all. Maaseh, ba'aba shov ben bitnis. So anyway, he would fill up all of the things that should be completely measured before yontem. Okay, then we said, no, he would do this during Chol HaMoed. And indeed, in the price it says that af b'moed osekein. And there it explained that the reason b'moed would be osekein, it doesn't say anything about the question of the berutzei midos. What it says over there is because of bitul beis hamedrash, right? So, I mean, the point over there is that, look, it's taking for granted that it's b'pnei birurei hamidos. But the idea over here is that I would work, I mean, this is one way of learning. I mean, you could learn that what it means is that even during Chol HaMoed, since he was very busy all day long with giving shiurim and people would come during Chol HaMoed with all kinds of shilas and so on, so then he would just do it in order to avoid the drain on his time during the day when people were coming. Okay, the other issue could be he just didn't have time to sit around and to be mamatzah the midas, and we'll see it later on. So that would be because of bitul beis hamedrash. He did not want to be spending a lot of time filling all kinds of bottles when he had a lot of work to do in the beis hamedrash. Ten rabbanan. Abishol ben butnis once had collected 300 barrels of wine from these drippings that the customer had not waited around to get. So he continued whatever was in there. And he always felt that he had no right to keep that for himself because the customer had paid for a liter and the customer had left over maybe 1/1000th of the liter, you know, but after 1,000 customers, he's got a whole liter over there. And he once ended up with 300 barrels of wine just for this kind of thing. He had chaverim that were selling oil, and they ended up with 300 containers of oil. And all of that was only because the customer hadn't waited for the mitzui of the mita. So anyway, they felt that, what do they have a right to keep this for themselves? So they went and they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim and said, listen to the Gizborim. They said, this is not our donation. I mean, this is something that belongs to people. So, you know, we want to give it to charity. Give it to the Beis HaMikdash. Rulaham. So anyway, so the Beis Din said to them, listen, guys, I mean, you know, it's not your responsibility. I mean, ain't them zekukim lakach. Well, you have to do that. Obviously, the people who bought it, they took upon themselves the understanding that they don't have 3 days to sit there for every last drop of oil to come out, you know. So, fine, that was the understanding upon which they entered into the business in the first place. So, clearly, they're completely Michael. So, why do you feel you have to give it to the Beis HaMikdash? I'm going to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. Omer Lahem, they said, listen, we don't want this. We don't like keeping things that don't belong to us. This doesn't belong to us, and therefore we don't want it. So if you won't take it, then tell us what to do with it. But it doesn't belong to us. That's for sure. So they said to them, okay, you want to be machmer on yourself. So Amru Lahem, if you want to be machmer on yourself, so then what you should do is not give it to Beis HaMikdash. What you should do is you should bring it to Tzorchei Rabim. So would you go donate it to things? We'll see what those kind of things mean in a minute. Because this, according to you, it's Gezel, right? So if you hold it's Gezel, so the Mishnah says what to do with Gezel. You know what you do with Gezel? The Tanya, Gezel v'ini yodei alami Gezel. Somebody was Gezel from the Rabim, and he doesn't know who it is that he was Gezel from. And now he's doing tshuva. So what is he? How can he possibly give the money back to the rabbin? So if he's any odel, he should go, oh, yeah, sebem tzorche rabbin. So do things that will at least likely everybody will be nene from, including the people that you were gozo from. So what would that mean? For instance, omrev chista would mean like, let's say, borot, shechin, marot. So if you need to have water works, places where people can water their animals on the roads and so on. Those type of things everybody is nene from, and therefore you're giving it back to the rabbin. That's as close as you can get to be ma'aseh. But it doesn't make sense for you to bring it to Beis HaMikdash, because this is not the point. It's not yours, you're saying, so you're claiming you want to view it as gezel. Adabre Rav Chista l'Rabbanu Ukva. So once Rav Chista was walking with Rabbanu Ukva, and when Adabre means that he supported him, and he basically pulled him in the direction he wanted to go, V'darash lo yimdod adam v'yitain lifnei, it's orim v'yitain lifnei b'em tov b'yom tov. Don't sit and measure out, even though obviously, I mean, I think it really matters whether it's an exact amount of like, I'm giving specifically, you know, one bushel of saorim to my animal. I mean, it's like I'm just putting it in there and trying to get a general idea. But since it looks like you are interested in measuring it, so people may think that what you're doing is you're getting ready to do a sale. So don't measure. But what you can do is you can take a kli, even if it's a measuring kli, and you can use it as a scooper. So koderhu kav or kabayim, you could scoop it up with that kli and then put it in front of the behema, because that's not the normal way to measure. If you're actually measuring, what you do is you take a scoop, and you hold a separate measuring container, and you pour it gradually until you get the exact amount. You don't go and scoop it up with the measuring thing itself, because you don't know exactly where it's going to come out. So that you can do without any chashash. Nobody's going to think that you're doing that in order to sell. Now, there are places, I mean, if you're a professional chef, you know, then you don't want to take a risk of not having the precise amount of spices that need to be put here. So he's allowed to be modei tavlin, because otherwise he could kill the whole thing. He could like overspice, and that way, for all intents and purposes, he's going to be burning it up. So things that you need to do very carefully, we didn't ask her to do, because that's the derech of doing it from Mipnei Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov Gufo immediately. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Ava, Amar Rav, מודדת אישה קמח ביום טוב, ונותנת לתוך איסתה, כדי שתיתוך חלה בעין יפה. A woman is allowed to measure flour, and put it into her dough to make her challahs, because that way she is going to know exactly how much she used, and she's not going to rationalize that, you know, I don't think there was that much there for challah. She's mechuyev to give echad mi'esrim v'arba, and she's going to say, I think it was only like about a kilo. If she ends up measuring it, she'll see that it was actually 1,200 grams. And not just a kilo. So this way, in order to take challah properly, we allow her to do a measure. Okay, obviously we don't do this because we don't give echad mi'esrim v'arba because it's burnt, because of tumah. Okay, Shmuel says, even this you're not allowed to do. What? Shmuel says, even this you're not allowed to do. There's a whole brisa that they gathered together, brisas, remember the Beis Medrash of Shmuel. And one of the brisas of the Tanna Devei Shmuel says, beferish this case, that a woman is allowed to measure flour on Yontif. So what Shmuel himself is like, going against the brisa of his own Beis Medrash? Oh, Tanna Devei Shmuel Mutter. Well, says Abai, I'll tell you. I mean, if Shmuel himself says that it's awesome, and the brisa says that it's mutter, so then I think the only way to understand what's going on is that Shmuel held that it's all very nice that it's mutter, theoretically, but it's apparently a halacha ve'ein morin kein. So in other words, yes, the din is that if somebody does it that way, fine, you don't say anything about it. But if people ask you whether that it's okay to measure the flour directly, don't be mora that it's mutter. Again, because even there's places, as we just saw, we had a couple of examples of this, that even though the halacha is halacha lemaisa, that it's mutter, we are always choshesh that people, those kind of halachas, are going to rationalize it further than we meant to be matir. Okay, now, when we're talking about getting things ready, so would you be allowed to be merakate? Remember, we're talking about which halachas are you allowed to do. Rashi's approach was the malachas that you can't really do properly before Yontif. Other approaches ranged from things that you would do in your kitchen as opposed to things that are normally done that you purchase or that you would hire somebody to do or that you would normally do, prepare a lot of at once. So that's not part of just the preparation of your food. Again, we went through that many times. So we had a lot of different approaches. But the bottom line is that merakeid could certainly be done before Yom Tov, and merakeid is often done in amounts that are there in order to allow you to prepare an awful lot of this stuff. So again, we'll take Rashi's approach. So now you cannot, on Yom Tov, re-sift the flour to make it even fluffier. Ain't shonin kemach b'Yom Tov. You can't do it again. Because you could have done that before Yom Tov. Now, l'chora, you did what you needed to do, right? So, in other words, there's some Rishonim will say that even according to Rashi, would not be Asur Miniraisa. Because the reason it wouldn't be Asur Miniraisa is because what you're doing is a re-sifting. So you already did what could be done. The re-sifting is like, that is not real sifting, it's just making it slightly more fluffy. Okay, but whatever it is, he's ossering any aspect of merakeid. So, whereas the Rebbe Pius and Rebbe Yehuda ben Betera Omru, you're not doing anything. If all you're doing is re-sifting, you're not taking out, you've already taken out all of the psola. So you're not taking out anything. What you're doing is you're fluffing it. So then you're allowed to. Shoni, because that isn't really rikud. But let's say if you had your flour and now something fell into it that's difficult to get out, maybe some splinters or some stones fell into it. So then that is the type of thing that can happen in your kitchen. You couldn't have taken care of it before because it just fell in over now. So that they're made that is called shenim, the type of shenim that is just a simple tzorach hachol nefesh. And that you are allowed to do. Tana Tanaka made a Ravina. Ein shonin kemach b'yomta. You cannot do the double sifting, the re-sifting. But if nofat tzoro kisem, What you could do is you could pick it out with your hand. That, yes. But you can't take and put it through a sifter again. Said Ravina, no, that's even worse. Because if you stick your hand in and you take out the psola, then that's mamish being borer. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to be borer. So it should even more usher. Torash Rava Baravuna Zuti Apiska Denarda, he also said that Shonin Kemach Biyontov, you're allowed to re-sift it. Well, Amar Lo Reb Nachman, you know, do me a favor. Go tell Abba, Shekila Tivutach Ushtiach Yisrei. We're very grateful for your big favors of allowing us to do these things. But if you don't mind, could you get the heck out of here and throw it onto the thorns? Because you didn't do a darn thing for us. You want to take a look at the streets of Narda? You know how many these people that walk around on the streets to do re-sifting? This was like a very common kind of thing. Everybody does this. So what do we need you for, to do us favors? Now, Rav Yosef's wife, she would devit to Rav Yosef, Nala Kimcha, Agaba de Mahulta. So she would make a chinui. So she would re-sift it, but she would re-sift it by doing a chinui. So she turned it upside down, and she put it through the other direction in order to make a chinui. And Rabbi Yosef told her, Chazi, the anarifta ma'ayata ba'ina. I need things to be very finely made. If you're going to start being machmer on me and make these shinuyim, then it's not going to be good enough for your husband. Let me tell you something. I have zeir finer dishmek, and if it isn't properly made, you're going to ruin my yantav. So you don't have to make a shinuy. This is what I need. Now, Ravashi's wife, the visit to Ravashi, she would do this nihila, this is the re-sifting of kemach, and what she wanted to do, she wanted to actually make a shinui, so she would turn the table upside down in order to utilize the back of the table as a shinui. Omer Ravashi, so Ravashi said, listen, man, oh man, this wife of mine is really hot stuff. Because she's a daughter of Rami Bar Chama, you know? And Rami Bar Chama, he was like famous for being a Mari de Uvdahave. He was very, very makbid on everything la halacha. And I can tell you one thing. If she didn't see this at home, she would never have done it this way. So when you marry a mashgiach, remember, you get the halacha as it's meant to be. So don't start arguing. Because, by the way, whole question of what exactly the back of the table meant, because the mashmaut is that they actually made a thing in the table to allow the sifting to be done. So she turned it over so she wouldn't be utilizing that thing. Let's get different rishonim, have different approaches to what the meaning is at the back of the table. And now it's a very special Richie moment. Thank you. That was very moving. And so, we are finishing up over here with how exactly you can buy things on Yontev without really buying things. So, you could always go into Makolet, and if the guy knows you, so he knows you're not just going to walk off with the purchase, so he's not going to need to write anything down or to mention any kind of price. So you can go into a chenveni haragil etzlo, and you say to him, he said, give me a dozen eggs, or give me 50 nuts. Because the derech of a ba'al ha'bayit is also to be mona betoch beito. Because even though we said you're not allowed to weigh things, that's because weighing is the way that you do business. But mentioning the number of things, that's not specifically business. That you could do at house. Because you could tell your wife, you know, let's say if you're Moshe Foreman, you could say, make me a dozen eggs for breakfast, right? Well, actually, that's not going to be enough. But the highest I've seen him go, I think, is 18. But that's when Gabby gave up. But anyway, so you could say, okay, you know, make me 5 eggs or make me 10 eggs, whatever. So that's the kind of thing you could do in your house, you know. You know, so that's okay to do in a store as well, as long as it's not going to lead to mention of money. We said that you can do. Tanu Rabbanan. Oleich Adam Eitz. So you could do this in a lot of different ways. I mean, that's to go into a makolet, all right? What about if you want to go to a shepherd? Shepherds sometimes would actually be able to sell animals that they were moving around. So you can go to a shepherd, and you could say to him, can you give me a goat or give me a sheep? Or you can go to a butcher. Again, all of these people are rogelet shlos, so you don't have to mention money. And you could say to him, okay, give me a shoulder. Or give me a thigh. Or you can go to a chicken patam, also a regular. So you could say to him, oh, could I have a torachat or a gozelachat? That doesn't sound like chickens, but same idea. You could go to a baker. The bakery knows you. And you could say, tainli kikarachat or gluskachat. Could I have like a challah? Or could I have a cake? Or you could go to a chenveni and say to him, give me 20 eggs or 50 nuts. Or 10 peaches, or 5 pomegranates, or 1 esrog, whatever you want, just don't say a schum midah. Don't say the weight or the volume of the thing. They say numbers because you would do that at home also. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, ubevat shelo yaskirlo schum mekach. You cannot ask for an amount. You can't say, give me $10 worth of nuts. That you can't do. But you could say, give me 50 nuts. And this brings us to a very special moment of our Kapitan, which is Hadron Alach Ein Sadin. Hamevi kadeyayin mimakom lemakom lo yivim bisal ubekupa. Now we get into another question that we're very makpid about uvda dechol. And we spoke about uvda dechol as things that look like the way you would be doing marketing, or the way that you would be doing hauling is what we're going to be interested in here, or the way that you would be doing business. So the question is, if you've got to bring like a lot of wine from one place to another, so then you want to change, you don't want to make it look like you're involved in doing a large haul of wine. So because of that, don't put a bunch of them into some type of a basket or some type of regular container that you would normally put a lot together. So let's say you've got like one of these things that holds 12 Coke bottles. Don't put 12 Coke bottles in a holder, because that looks like it's the uvda dechol that you're actually making a big haul of things on Yom Tov.